Let's get into our message today. We are in the second week of a fall sermon series that we've been calling Faithful to the End. And between now and Thanksgiving, we're studying the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. As I mentioned last week, 1 Thessalonians is not a very long book. It's not a very big part of the New Testament, but there's these really powerful themes that appear in this very short book that can apply to us in our day and age as much as they spoke to the original Christians that this was written to back in the first century. And so we're going to dive into this over a number of weeks, and I think we had a great start last Sunday, and just really looking forward to everything that God has in store through our study. I want to begin this morning's message in a unique way with a poem, okay? And so get this to you here. And the poem goes like this. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show me the way. The eye's a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. What do you think of that? Does that ring true to you and your life and your experience? There's another saying that goes like this: a life of faith is caught as much as it's taught. You know, in our lives, of course, we need good teaching. We need to gain understanding about God, about what it means to follow Jesus. But so often, the most impactful lessons in our life come through the form of living examples. We learn to follow Jesus by seeing the example of other people following Jesus. We see them on their path, and that informs us and encourages us and inspires us in our own lives. If you're on our email distribution list earlier this week, I sent a few questions your way. I asked you to take some time to think about your own life and to ponder some of these questions. So here's what I sent you. I said, you know, who has been a living example of faith to you? Who have been those people that have been models and examples to you? What is it about their life? What is it about their faith that has encouraged you? And what have you learned from them about following Jesus, and this key theme in the book of 1 Thessalonians about what it means to center our lives on Christ and in Christ? What have you seen in those people? What have you learned from them? You know, as I thought about that for myself, there was a bunch of people that came to mind. I just want to tell one story. It's a story of a couple that I've mentioned here before. It's our dear friends, Mike and Vicki Brooks. When Andre and I were in college, there was a group of us that would travel about once a month from Luther College in Northeast Iowa all the way down to Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We'd attend these the Saturday night service and then the Sunday morning service at River of Life Ministries. In between that, we'd sleep on the floors of church families. And so there's a number of people that opened their homes to us and just loved on us. And Mike and Vicki were some of the people that did that. And, you know, they're about my age now, and, you know, here we were, these young college kids, and we'd get home from church about, 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and we thought, well, what are we going to do for this night? What are we going to do this evening? You know, they're ready for bed, and, you know, and so we're like, well, no, stay up. Like, we want to ask you all these questions. And so, you know, oftentimes we'd keep them up till midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we just pepper them, like, well, tell us about this. What's it like to be married? What's, you know, what have you learned about God? What, where'd you get life direction? And, you know, at about 11 o'clock, we just see him like, okay, I need some more coffee, you know? But they were fantastic. When Andre and I started dating, one of the first things that we did was we asked Mike and Vicki to mentor us. We'd seen so much in their relationship that we wanted to emulate, and so we just say, hey, can we get together every so often, and can we ask you questions? Can you speak into our lives? Can you teach us some things? And after we got married, we actually lived with the Brookses for a season. You got to see firsthand. You know, there's nothing like living with somebody. You know, you get to see the whole gamut. But it was such a wonderful blessing because we got to see living examples, what it meant to follow Christ, to love one another well. And, you know, now 20 years some later, man, they're fingerprints of Mike and Vicki Brooks all over my life, all over Andrea's life, over our marriage and our family. And, you know, they've just been living examples to us as a Christian couple, as a family, loving each other well, pursuing God all those things. And those are the kind of examples, those are the kind of lessons that stick with us through our lives, right? You know, we don't forget those kinds of lessons. So, you know, in your life, who are those living examples to you? And what can those kinds of connections, what can they be like? What can they feel like? Those are some of the questions that we're going to dive in to this morning. So I want to get into our main passage this morning. We're going to look at the first section of 1 Thessalonians 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet, our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see that we were not preaching with any deceit or any impure motives or trickery, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people," just like what Leon was saying. "He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And as God is our witness, we were not pretending to be friends just to get your money." That happened all the way back in the first century, too, all right? Not much changes. "As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else." Verse 7, "As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead, we were like children among you." Or, another way to put it, we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. Verse 8, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." There's a number of interesting topics that Paul touches on. We'll actually talk a little bit next week about how to be faithful in times of suffering or persecution. That's a big thing that comes up here chapter 2. But for this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to center in on just this last verse. Would you read that aloud with me again? "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." So we're just going to unpack this verse phrase by phrase, and I've got a lot of practical things to share with you this morning of what does it look like to live with one another and among one another in a way where we're sharing this kind of life with each other. So the first phrase, Paul starts off with this. He says, "We loved you so much." We loved you so much. So much. You know, this is a reoccurring theme in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. The Thessalonians, they weren't just a ministry project to Paul. It wasn't just a thing on his resume of like, oh, hey, I started that church in Thessalonica. It's going good. You know, look at that, all these things. He really loved them. They were family to him. His heart was poured out to them. Like verse 7 says, "We were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children." On those lines, I want to share a little bit with you of a commentary from author J.K. Beale. He writes this. He says, "Paul's bold ministry was expressed, ironically, with tender care." It was both bold and tender. The image in verse 7 is not merely of a mother, but actually of a nursing mother who intimately and sensitively cares for her young. He goes on to say, "Think of how a mother bird cares for her newborn young, or her eggs. She conforms her life to meet the needs of the new lives of her young, just like human mothers do. The mother must take the initiative to pattern her life around the life of the newborn in order to properly to meet the child's needs." So he gives this picture of a mother's love. Goes on a little bit later. Oh, sorry, here. "Ultimately, she sacrifices her needs to meet the needs of her offspring. She's delighted. She's delighted to give of her life to her children." Why? Because she loves them. So Paul uses this analogy of a mother caring for her children. Verse 11 and 12, he gives the other side of a family. He says, "We treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, we encouraged you, we urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he has called you to share in his kingdom and in his glory." So are you catching the relationship that's there? Again, this wasn't just about a project. It wasn't just about a ministry. Paul really loved these people. He had laid down his life that they could come to know Jesus and to grow in him. And he uses these analogies of the faithful love of a father, the sacrificial love of a mother. That's how he describes his relationship with these believers in Thessalonica. So I won't dwell too long in there, but just again, as we think about our own lives, as you think about your own experience, you know, who has loved you and led you like that? Have you had people that have had that sacrificial kind of love? Maybe it is your mother or your father. Maybe it's another mentor, maybe another leader in your life. They've just poured out their life for you in a sacrificial way so that you could grow into everything that you are meant to be. What kind of impact has that had? You know, as you've experienced that kind of love and leadership, how has that shaped you? You know, one of the living examples I thought of this week, another one was my friend John Marsden. John was here, I think it was this last winter, and spoke. And John just recently retired as a senior pastor of Vineyard Church in Invergrove Heights, and he's still doing some work there and also doing some mission stuff. But for about 10 years, John was our area leader for our Vineyard churches. And so just as we were getting going here in Mankato, he was one of those that just came alongside, not only in a functional sense of, you know, within our group of churches, but, you know, as I think about John, you know, he's given me lots of wisdom, a lot of help in different ways, like in leadership, but the thing that I think about most is just his friendship, you know, his care. This week I was thinking about, you know, almost 2 years ago when my friend Grant Roram committed suicide. John was one of the first people I called. I said, John, I've never been through this before. You know, and he just listened. You know, he says, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me pray for you. You know, I mean, he was just that kind of friend. And I'm so, so grateful for his role in my life. You know, so who are those people in your life? Who has led you and loved you in that way? And, you know, maybe it's another angle that we want to explore as we go on with our message today. Who are you? Who are you loving and leading in that way? Have you experienced that in the receiving end? Who are you doing that for? That's what God wants to do. He wants to pour in us. And he wants to pour through us. We'll talk more about that as we go along. This is the first phrase. We loved you so much. The second phrase in verse 8, Paul says this. He says, we shared the good news with you. We shared the good news of Jesus with you. This is what Paul did. As an apostle, he traveled all over the Mediterranean region, sharing about Jesus and starting new churches. That's what his life was about. And Thessalonica was one of the places where Paul landed for a season. And the Thessalonians, they became believers in Jesus because of Paul's preaching. Paul told them about Jesus. He told them about the death, the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ, the whole grand story of God's kingdom coming close and what it meant for them to respond in faith and say, I need that new life. I need that forgiveness. I need that freedom. He spoke that forth to them. You know, last week we talked about 1 Thessalonians 1. Here's a couple snippets from there. Paul says, when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. And he says, and you turned away. This is what you did. You turned away from idols to serve the true and living God. You know, I just love this. You know, our church is called Two Rivers Vineyard Church. And again, this verse hits on that, of why that is. It's not just because there's two rivers in Mankato. It's that Jesus ministered in power and truth. We see the same thing with Paul. He spoke words of truth. He shared this good news about Jesus, and he ministered in power. And that was how people's lives were changed. Friends, that's the same thing up until today. You think about the change that happened to the Thessalonians. So we talked about last week. When they encountered the living God, they knew something had to happen, right? They had to turn away from all these other things that they'd been looking to for meaning and significance. And they had to turn to God and say, God, you're it. Jesus, you're the ultimate source. They abandoned their false hopes for meaning and instead placed their hope in God. They cast off their previous systems of significance and instead they found real identity in Christ. And again, when we encounter the true and living God like that, that's the response that it leads to in our lives. It's not just a little bit of behavior modification. The gospel goes down to the very core of who we are. And we live from a completely different place. We're not trying to earn God's approval. We're able to live out a new life because we've already been forgiven. We've already been set free. We've already been loved. We've already been called son, daughter. That's how we live this thing out. And for you, maybe today might be a day for you to have that kind of encounter with God. Maybe for the very first time, where you step away from you being in control of your life. Instead, you turn to Jesus as the one who's really calling the shots. You know? And some of you need to hear this. I just was touching on this before. You know, Jesus didn't come to earth to make you a religious person or even a better person. He came to give you a brand new kind of life. The life of heaven poured into you and me. That's what he offers so freely to us, and it's each and every one of us. We can receive it as a free gift and just say, God, this is, I can't get there on my own, but I believe you. I believe that this is what you've done, and I'm going to believe you to receive this, these gifts of grace, forgiveness, freedom, new life. That's the good news. That's what Jesus came to give us. Paul says, we loved you so much. We loved you so much that we shared the good news with you. But not only that, he says, we shared not only God's good news, but our own lives too. This is where we want to spend most of our time this morning. As I mentioned earlier, this is how real learning often happens. Now, so often the most impactful lessons in our lives come in the form of what we might say are living examples. We learn to follow Jesus by seeing the example of others following Jesus. But here's the other angle of this. It's not just what we learn. Isn't this where we experience real relationship, right? You know, that he said, we opened our lives to you. We didn't just share with you information. We said, here's my life. Here's relationship. Here's connection. Here's friendship. Here's leadership. As people open their lives to us, we experience real love in that deep friendship that we all long for. And the same is true as we open our lives to other people. Now, again, I think about the people that have made an impact in our lives. I think about Mike and Vicki Brooks. I think about John Marston in my life. They didn't just share wisdom or truth with us. I mean, they literally opened their lives, opened their homes to us and said, come on in. Let's walk together. You know, they were open to answering questions and just opening their lives to us. We got to see firsthand what it looked like for them to love each other, to follow Jesus and, you know, to walk through difficult seasons in life. It's because they opened their lives to us. You know, and that's just what we want to be able to do for one another and for those that God brings into our path. Now, you might be saying like, okay, Brian, that sounds really good, but what does that practically look like? That's what I want to spend most of my time today. I want to use the relationships of three key people that are mentioned here in 1 Thessalonians. Help us know how we can practically walk this out with one another. Okay, and so in the opening verse, very opening verse of 1 Thessalonians says this. It says, this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were a team. And there was some really unique ways that they related to one another that not only made them a really effective team, but also brought them the kinds of relationships that lead to a vibrant, God-filled kind of life. You know, as one preacher put it, we need Pauls in our life, we need Silases in our life, and we need Timothys in our lives. unpack that a little bit more. Paul and Timothy, they had this connection of mentor and mentee. Now, Paul was older, Timothy was a younger man. He was just getting going and following Jesus. He was a young disciple learning how to lead. They were in very different stages of life, but they walked together, you know, and there was things that Paul poured into Timothy that was really unique in that relationship, and there was things even that Timothy gave back to Paul as Paul was a mentor. To him. And so there's those kinds of connections. There's also what we might call Paul and Silas kinds of connections. They were peers. They're co-workers. You know, they worked right alongside in a bunch of different places. They were maybe in similar stages of life and experience. And they made this commitment to say, well, let's walk together. You know, we need each other in this journey of following Jesus. They said, I need a Silas. Silas says, I need a Paul in my life. Those kinds of connections. So what we're going to talk about this morning, the rest of our time, is, you know, just exploring, who are those people like Paul in your life? You know, who are those mentors? Who could be those mentors? Who are the people like Silas in your life? Those folks that are you're running shoulder to shoulder with, you're walking through the ups and downs of life and faith with. And who are the people like Timothy in your life? Maybe at a little different stage, different things going on. Who are you pouring your life into? So we'll just talk about a number of practical ideas along these lines. I'm actually going a little bit of reverse order here, okay? So thinking about Timothy kinds of connections. As we were at the men's retreat this weekend, so much that Ed, the speaker, was talking about that was just for us as guys to be able to receive into our own lives. But as it was so natural to think about, you know, as we receive that blessing of sonship into our lives, you know, we want to have that pour out, particularly if we're married, if we've got kids. We want to be that to our kids. You know, there's a bunch of you that are right in the middle of child rearing, raising years. You know, and so this thing of Timothy is very literal. You know, you've got like literal young people in your life. And so to think of yourself, like what are your kids learning from your example? You don't have to be perfect. You know, I think a lot of times our kids learn a lot from us when we're not perfect. And we come to God in the midst of our brokenness and our lack, and they can just see that God's still enough. You know? What are they seeing in you as you pursue God in your life and His will for you and His plans, you know, for you? You know, your grandkids, remember you have grandkids. You know, you can be an example to them of what a life of faith looks like, vibrant, honest, all those things. Those can be Timothys in your life. And I think about just a number of the young people that we have, you know, here in our church. As Brian was talking about, all the kids back there. There's a load of kids back there, you know. You guys are good at having kids, so way to go. Be fruitful and multiply. You took that very literally, okay? So we see that as a church. We take that really seriously. Like God has given us these young people as gifts. We want to steward those gifts really, really well. And one thing that just encourage you to be praying with us about, we've got a number of transitions that are going. We've had a number of people that had babies recently, so we're trying to prepare for that. We've got a number of kids that are just turning like 5 and 6. And so we've got a big range of kids all the way from like kindergartners up until like middle schoolers. And we're just trying to catch fresh vision from God about how to serve these kids as best as possible. And just be real honest, like we're in need right now, and we're asking God to just speak to people, put vision in your hearts to be part of that, you know, because there's some specific things that we want to do with some of these age ranges that we probably don't have the people in place right now to be able to do that. And so I encourage you, turn your heart towards God. You know, if there's some ways that God speaks to you about investing your life in some of these kids in that way, we'd love to talk to you, okay? And appreciate you praying and working alongside of us with that. You know, I think about you guys, college students. Like, I mean, we just so appreciate that you're part of our church. And, you know, we've had so many instances over the years where, you know, people in our church have done for you much like what Mike and Vicky did for Andrea and I, you know. Well, they just welcomed us in. Sometimes it's just like taking you out for a meal, sitting down for a cup of coffee, you know. And it may not feel like that big a thing, but I remember, I mean, like this is like almost 25 years ago now, that made the hugest difference in my life. That this, you know, older adult, like really old, now I feel old, you know, just paid attention and was interested in what was going on in my life and asked me questions and, you know, just came alongside. And so, you know, there's been so much of that's already happened, but you know, maybe there's a fresh season for God to pour that into you, to come alongside some of these young people. You know, think about, you know, a major pursuit of ours here at Two Rivers is we've got so many folks involved in Royal Family Kids Camp. I mean, isn't this at the core of that? That for a week, these kids get to see adults that love and follow Jesus, that Jesus has worked in and brought various levels of healing and hope to. And so these kids that are coming out of sometimes really hard and sometimes even horrific kind of situations, they can look and say, you know what? I see Ben. He loves Jesus. And I know he's not perfect, but like, I want to be like Ben. I want to be like Nate, you know? I want to be like Mr. America, Frank Mullen, right? You know, or whatever his name was, you know, Captain America. You know, there's this example that they are able to pick up. That's what it's like to have Timothys in our lives. We just open ourselves up and say, this is who I am. This is who God is in my life. We just welcome them into our story. Okay, so some Timothy kinds of connections. Big emphasis I want to just give this morning. I mentioned about this in our congregational meeting last week. I think a big one that God is wanting to renew in us are these Silas kinds of connections. These arm in arm, walking with one another, maybe a similar stage of life. Excuse me. You know, maybe some similar experiences that you're going through. And just be honest, that's hard. You know, it's hard to be able to maintain those kinds of connections, but they're so, so important. I mean, you know, from a church perspective, we try and facilitate, you know, structures and different things like through small groups or mini groups and, you know, different opportunities for people to connect in these iron sharpened irons kind of relationships. But there's so much of this that just has to happen in the midst of our day-to-day stuff, you know? Because even, you know, coming on a Sunday morning or going to a small group on a Wednesday night, that's not going to be enough, to be honest, you know? We need friendships. We need to know that there's people that are walking with us and that we're walking with them. And so, I mean, for you right now, like, who has access to your life like that? You know, who have you shared your life with in that way? And if that's not present right now, then what are some ways that you can pursue that? And again, I'll be really God honest with you. You very well may experience some, you know, some bumps in the road or some hiccups or some obstacles along the way. I mean, because we have an enemy, and this is the last thing that he wants to have happen, is for you to live and connect in life-giving relationship. And so don't give up after one or two tries, you know? Keep pursuing. Keep pursuing that because we need it, right? We need it. You know, and I think this is so important. I mean, we've got more of these formal ways that we do this, but one of the things I was praying about this morning is just asking God to, like, rekindle the spirit of fun in us, you know? Like, we're a pretty earnest kind of a group, you know? We're going to go do some great things for God, you know? That's awesome. We're going to keep doing that, but maybe the most spiritual thing you can do this week is have somebody over for dinner and play games with them. That very well could be the most healing, restorative thing, even to your spiritual life, where there's no agenda of anything super spiritual, productive, but like you're going to have fun. Can we pray for that? God, renew the spirit of fun in us. You know, I think about Gustavus, you know, make your life count, you know, doggone it, you know, be productive. Have fun, you know, enjoy each other, walk with one another. You know, another thing, Dan Keel and Randy Wills and I just finished up a really fun little training thing. It's kind of like a peer coaching model. Using the example of Barnabas in the New Testament. Barnabas was an encourager, one that came alongside. And we're going to explore some things along these lines where, you know, there's this proliferation of life coaches and different things. Well, what would it look like if we could kind of get trained to just do that for each other? Not like I'm the coach and you're the coachee, but just where we learn how to ask questions and help to draw things out of each other. Like, what's God speaking to you? You know, what are you celebrating right now? What's an obstacle that you're facing in life that you just need God's wisdom? And how can I just come alongside you to help walk through that with you? What I love about that model is that none of us have to have all the answers. It's just about coming alongside and trusting that the Holy Spirit is the one that has answers. You know, and so as time goes on, I think we're going to explore that some more and see what comes together. You know, and so again, for you, what's this look like right now? You know, and if you feel like there's gaps, what are those things that God's putting before you to take initiative towards that? And can we trust that if all of us respond to the Holy Spirit in that, that He can orchestrate the kinds of connections and relationships that we all long for? That takes a big God, you know? There's a lot that stands opposed to that. But God can get us there. He can get that. You know, just one other clarification just about our expectations. You know, in a smaller church like ours, you know, there can be these natural ways that happens, but it also can be difficult. Sometimes we can get these ideas or pre-expectations of what that has to look like. Maybe I've got to connect with this particular person, otherwise I'm not having community. Remember an exchange I had with a guy a while back, and you know, and kind of went off of this rant to say, you know, no one's pursuing me, and the only people that have reached out to us are these six or seven people, you know. You know, like, that's a pretty good start. You know, isn't it easy to get stuck? You know, we think, well, if that person doesn't say something to me, or if I'm not friends with that such and such a leader, then I don't have community. You know, let go of that. It's just not good for your soul. You know? But again, I want to give you grace in this. This is hard. This is hard. It's worth it. Like I said in our congregational meeting last week, I feel like God has His finger on this. He's going to lead us. He's going to provide this and these Silas kinds of connections that we need and we long for. If we press in, really believe He's going to do it. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, lastly, Paul kinds of connections. His mentors, people that we can look up to. Maybe they're in a different stage of life. Maybe a step or two ahead of us in raising families or, you know, in relationships or marriage or, you know, maybe a similar pursuit in our career, you know. What would it look like for you to take some initiative and just say, hey, I've got some questions. Can I buy you lunch? You know, if you don't have much of a budget, can I buy you coffee? Can I take you out for a glass of water? You know? You know, whatever the case is, here's what I've found. I've found in my life that, you know, I mean, this is just a gift. I mean, within kind of Vineyard circles, like some of like national leaders, people, I mean, like you would think would be way over busy, that God put on my heart. Say, you know what? I want to ask them some questions. They made time for me, you know? And I think that's so true for so many different people. You may think, oh, like they got too much going on and everything. It's all right if that doesn't work out. But take the initiative and pursue that. And just see what you can learn, you know, from them. You know, I think that's so important. Like, if you're longing for that mentorship, or you've got questions and you're trying to figure out how do I get from here to there, and you just wait around for somebody to kind of pursue you, sometimes it happens. Why not take the initiative? You know, why not reach out? And, you know, it can just be a small little thing. You say, I got some questions. Would you mind? Can I grab a cup of water with you? Let's talk about these things. Are you catching the different kinds of relationships? Catching the different ways that this feeds our hearts and our souls, and it gives us the kind of community that that we need to grow, and it gives us the kind of community that we need to just enjoy life, you know? So for you again, who are those people like Paul in your life, or who could be those people like Paul in your life? You know, if you have people like that in your life, what are you doing to pursue that? If you don't yet have those people, what do you need to do to pursue that? You know, put this question up there, prayer you can pray. It's like, God, who can I learn from? And who do I admire? Who do I want to emulate? Take some initiative along those lines. Who are the people like Silas in your life? Who are those folks that you can walk shoulder to shoulder with through the ups and downs of life? And ask God, who can I walk with? God, would you show me people that maybe are sorting through some similar things? Maybe people I have an affinity with. Somebody I'd just like to get to know. Take some initiative along those lines. And finally, who are the people like Timothy? Who are those potential Timothys in your life that you can invest in? Pour your life into. Again, a prayer you can pray is, God, who can I invest in? Who can I pour my life into? There's no set answers for these. But the Holy Spirit's really good at speaking to us. If we go to Him, we ask these questions, we wait on Him. I've seen this over and over in my life, that different seasons, different circumstances, God has provided the kinds of relationships that I need to continue to move forward. I'm so grateful for that. And he can do that for you. We can go at that with Him. And Paul says, we loved you so much. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Let me finish. Read this aloud with me, okay? I think this is such a fitting thing, okay? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show me the way. The eye is a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. Would you go ahead and stand? God, we just look to you in faith and expectancy, God. Trusting that you really are good and you know our needs. And Lord, as we press into some of these tender things, particularly about how we experience depth of relationship, maybe some disappointments that we've experienced, dashed hopes, God, we thank you that you are big enough. God, you are able to meet us every step of the way. We just come to you and say, Lord, we need Pauls, we need Silases, we need Timothys in each one of our lives, God, and we want to be those people as well. Holy Spirit, we trust you that as we look to you in obedience and faith and surrender, that you can orchestrate all of this. God, not only with us here, but Lord, those people around us in our different spheres of life, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our families. God, you can pour into us all those different kinds of relationships that we need to live vibrantly in you with each other. So let's bless that now in Jesus' name. Come, Lord. God, answer these cries. Answer these prayers, Lord, that we're praying. We ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So go back into some worship and ministry. Just a couple of notes that stood out to me as I was praying in advance to today. One of those was sometimes we use these different analogies to talk about what the church is about. And Founding Vineyard leader John Wimber would sometimes use these four illustrations. He'd talk about the church being a family, the church being like a college or a university, you know, where you can learn things. Talked about the church being an army, you know, where we're taking new ground for the kingdom of God. The one that I was thinking about this morning is he talked about the church being like a hospital. Sometimes as we go and we're in the midst of so many battles, you know, we're trying to make a difference for Christ and we're trying to just wade through these different things. Sometimes we just need to know, like, the body of Christ is a place where we can just experience healing. We can just say, I'm worn out. I need some help. And just to be able to receive that grace and that generosity from God come and pour into us. It's like this ointment of healing. So I just encourage you. I talked about this last Sunday, that this number of folks are a little fatigued right now. God's here. He wants to pour into your life. Okay? And so receive that this morning. Secondly, I just feel like there's some more business that God wants to do in our hearts about turning from idols and turning to Him. And so, again, we talked about that last Sunday. Maybe there's another layer that deeper that God wants to go. So turn to Him. He is enough. He can do it. Amen.